Hi, everyone. It's Judy. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Today, we talk to Mark Ross, who's a longtime Altium beta user. He shares his insights and the values he gets from being a beta user. He also chimes in on a long list that I give him of questions about what he thinks of Altium Designer 20. So you're going to enjoy this insight from Mark Ross. Enjoy. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today on the On Track podcast. We're excited to talk to you today.
Great. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Well, why don't you start out by giving us a little introduction about yourself and your company and the kind of work that you do?
Sure. I've actually been designing circuit boards now for 32 years. We started way back when with ProTel EasyTrax, and then we went to Tango, then to PCAD, and then after you guys acquired Excel, basically, I moved into ProTel 98 SE, and I've been using your products ever since then. So,
oh my gosh, you're like
decades of experience.
You're like a part of the family.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wait, before I got here, years and years.
Basically, I've been doing this, and I've taken personality tests to see if there's something else I could do. And it's just so far skewed to engineering that it's not even a question. And then specifically in the design of circuit boards, I've worked for some various companies over the years. The company that I'm working for now, Progressive Dynamics, they're the market leader in RV power conversion.
Oh.
So basically, if you have battery banks in an RV and you need to charge them by plugging them into what we call shore power, which is like household voltage, it will charge your batteries. Or we also make power inverters. So if you put a 12-volt battery on the input, it'll make 120 volts on the output. So you can run things like refrigerators and microwaves and things like that.
Oh, that's cool.
I've been with the company about, it'll be 5 years next April. They brought me on because they were having problems finding good board designers that knew how to design power products.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, up until 5 years ago, all their products were through-hole technology.
Wow.
So they brought me on to get everything converted over to surface mount. So we've got our last two products converted to surface mount in the last 3 months. They're going through UL testing, and then we'll be 100% surface mount for the controllers, but we have power magnetics, so they'll never be anything other than through hole because of their size. So part of our challenges, and you guys have been really good to help us with this, is the 3D capability.
Mm-hmm.
Back when you first announced it, you know, there were some people that said, well, it's just a toy, it's not really needed, let the, you know, uh-huh, the mechanical guys, the SolidWorks and the inventor guys take care of it. I saw the value right away, and it has helped us so well with what we're doing, because we have to worry about, not only do we have component collisions, but UL spacing. We have other guidelines where we're really trying to get this product packed in really tight.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to go back and forth with mechanical guys, it would take a lot longer. Pretty much I'm doing about a new circuit board about every 2 weeks, and there's usually a product revision at least once a week. So
wow.
we're quite busy. Yeah, we're really busy. So
that's amazing. They must really be, are they sort of a market leader in that space to be doing
yeah.
that much product? Yeah.
Yes, and with the tariffs from China, we're picking up more business. So
oh.
That was something that was kind of surprising, but it's been really good. And there's other markets we're into, like marine, specialty trucks, so like utility trucks that use these types of products. We work with a company that makes demonstration trucks for like Mack Tools and other companies where they're going to take their show on the road, and mm-hmm. they basically have like a semi-trailer, and they need to have portable power mm-hmm. For things that run off 120 volts. So we, you know, we provide them complete systems. So it's been pretty interesting. A lot of challenges with the, you know, with the power, and you got to get your efficiencies up, and you got to, the time to market is now just so crazy that it's not like it was 32 years ago when I started out.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you what I asked some designers, because I don't know, you probably don't know this about me. The audience certainly does, because I've said enough time. But I've worked with designers for over 25 years on hardware, on PCB fab and assembly. So I've been in the trenches with y'all for a long time. But I always like to take a look at the breadcrumbs that led you to your career. So when you were a kid, what were some indications that you might end up having the knack?
I think I was around 7 years old, and my parents, I begged them for a CB base station for Christmas so that I could talk to the truckers. And I got it, and within about a day, I had taken it apart. So after I recovered from the beating for taking it apart, I basically was able to put it back together. I wanted to see how it worked. And I put it back together, and I got it working. And they were like, oh, boy, you know, we know which road he's going to go down. So,
right.
You know, it was the type of thing that even as a kid, I would go find a television that was sitting on the side of the road that somebody threw out and bring it home and fix it. And then I got into computers early on, was an early Atari guy uh-huh. when I was in junior high. Actually worked an entire summer and bought my first computer. It was an Atari 800 uh-huh. And, you know, worked from there. And then what happened was when I got done with high school, I went to trade school, and I got a degree in electronics engineering technology, started to work at a company. The first year I was there, I was working on the production floor fixing circuit boards. And then a year later, I got promoted into the engineering department, and I have been laying out circuit boards ever since.
Well, I'd like to tell you, Mark, that that's a unique story, but it's such not a unique story. It's so funny because it, you know, I just don't know very many occupations in the whole wide world where there is such a common thread of this. Yeah, I was seven and I got a CB or a soldering iron and I took something apart. And Rick Hartley told me he was trash digging at like five with his brother and worked on this clock for like 2 weeks. He goes, what five-year-old works on a clock for 2 weeks? So yeah, thanks for sharing that. It's a fun story. Well, I thought it'd be interesting for our audience to sort of get a glimpse. You've not only been a very capable user and longtime user of Altium tools and ProTel tools, but you've also been a beta user. So can you tell us about how long you've been a beta user for Altium?
I believe it goes back to about 15. Mm-hmm. In my current company, I've been a beta user since 17. Mm-hmm. And basically, I'm a firm believer in, you know, you got to give back to the companies. Our mechanical stuff, I've never been offered the ability to be a beta user, but with Altium, I was able to be a beta user. You know, you just have to sign up. You have to let them know what you're doing. And then, you know, you guys have always been very flexible with allowing me to be a beta user. So it's been really good to be able to give you guys feedback.
We love it. We love it, love it. So, what first led you to want to raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to be a beta user?
I believe that there's a big, I don't know, I would say a disconnect, and not only with you guys, but just CAD software users in general. You know, there's going to be some people that first of all, you're going to have a large base. They don't bother to complain. They may stay with a certain version because their company makes them stay with that version. There's going to be some people that are going to be quite vocal and complain, like me. And then, you know, you're going to have some people that are going to kind of be in the middle and, yeah, we'd like to see this. We don't want to see that. But you know, if you guys are trying to develop and improve the product, and if we're not going to give you any feedback, well, that's, you know, that's not fair to the users, and it's not fair to you guys either. So
yeah, no, we really, really appreciate it when you give us that input, because otherwise we're left to guessing what we think you might like. Or, and you're on that, like, man, you're laying out a board every couple of weeks. Like, you're on that tool every day, all day, right? And you're going to see things we don't see, right? So we really appreciate that. So how has that experience been for you, and what benefit do you see? I mean, obviously you've kept at it for a while, so at least 5 releases. So what has kept you sort of at it?
Well, the thing that helps, number one, employability. It's always good to be up to date on your tools, because obviously things change so rapidly that companies are going to be looking for somebody. And if things change, and they need somebody that needs to know how to run 19, and this person maybe is running 12 or 16 or something,
right,
you know, there could be issues. So that's one thing. The other thing that really helps is, for my company, if I'm the one that's doing the beta testing, then once it gets released and we have the newest update, then I'm the go-to guy, and I'm able to help everybody. Mm. They say, well, how do I do this, or can I do this, or, you know, what happened to this? It's helpful, because then we're not all fumbling around.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, the reason, you know, Lawrence Romine sort of put us together for this podcast, and one reason was this conversation you two had at Altium Live, in which, and we don't always get it right, as you know. And
right.
Instead of us sort of talking about, you're at Altium Live, you've been a beta user, you've seen Altium Designer 20 well in advance of its release, you've had your hands all over it. So I thought it'd be interesting for our listeners to hear, you know, your input, not us touting ourselves or putting ourselves down. I, you know, I want you to be, you know, let it fly, and, you know, just give your honest opinion on what you're seeing. And so I have a few questions here I want to ask you about, and things that I think that will be interesting to our listeners. So how would you describe the significance of Altium Designer 20 compared to some of our more previous releases?
Well, I'm one of the vocal guys that was stuck with 17. I did beta on 18 and 19, but I just couldn't, the user interface for my day-to-day stuff, because we're so busy, I really couldn't afford to be able to take the time to learn the tool. I still had to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I got kind of stuck in 17.
I see.
20, when I started using it, which was about 2 weeks or so before the show, I believe.
Okay.
Now that I've been using it, I've been more cognizant about what's different.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's about 97% that I don't notice it anymore. So coming from 17 to 20, the user interface is back to being very smooth for me. There's only one dialogue box that I still catch myself dealing with, and that's if I pick up a reference designator to move it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hit the tab key to change the size or the width on the fly while moving it. That's still not there.
Uh-huh.
So I have to double click, change it, and then move it, or move it and then change it. But other than that, all the functionality that I'm used to in 17, mm-hmm. it's there in 20, and I'm not finding myself using the tool any different in 20 than I am in 17. So I can't exactly put my finger on everything that you guys have fixed, but the ease of use is back.
Great.
And because of all the other features that are in 20, I've already switched over. So
great.
I'm not even using 17, except if I want to report something, I might start 17 to see how it's working in 17, and then go back and take a video on 20 and send it in to you guys.
Oh, great. So now that you've been using it for a little bit,
do you have, like, what are you say your top three favorite new features or features that stand out in this release of Ultimate Designer 20?
For the people that haven't seen it, the interactive router is absolutely amazing. When I was out there and I saw it, the first thing I thought to myself was, boy, that's got Intergraph written all over it. And then I found out that you guys hired some of the guys that used to write the router.
We sure did. But Charles Spile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the day, man, I was so jealous of the guys that were able to run Intergraph software when I was running Tango, because it's absolutely amazing. The thing that's really helping us that we've noticed in 20 is every product, and I don't care what market it's been in. I've been doing this so long. I never have a board that gets released without some last minute changes.
Uh-huh.
And typically it's in an area where I'm packed. I can't put parts in and they need me to add some filter capacitors or something for ESD or excuse me. So with 20, it's, I want to say about, from what I'm noticing, about 40% faster for me to do these last minute board spins. Between the interactive routing that's improved, the way that I can move the components around and things drag intelligently, and just the overall, the user interface being back to what I'm used to it being, those are the best improvements for me. There's a lot of stuff, honestly, that I haven't had time to sit down and look at yet, but I can tell that there is quite a bit different between 20 and 17. So that's quite a nice surprise for us. Another thing, staying with 17 and not going to 18 or 19, people have commented when we're doing presentations at work that the 3D rendering engine is like phenomenal versus what it was, you know, from 17. It's just so much faster. We used to have things where we're like, okay, we want to show you guys this board. Everybody take a 5-minute break because all the step files have to render.
Right.
And, you know, that's gone. It's instantaneous for us. So those are the things that we've noticed so far.
That's very exciting. Well, the time saving has to be, you said 40%?
I've tried to start to take notes, but I mean, I can notice, and also the people when they're coming to me and they have these changes have noticed that we're getting our board spins done a lot quicker.
That's exciting. That's a good day. So what do you think, or what's your opinion on the stability of Ultimate Designer 20? You know, 17 wasn't everybody's favorite. It crashed a lot from what I hear. So what do you think about the stability of Ultimate Designer 20 so far? And how does that impact your day to day?
Even in the beta, I've noticed that the latest betas for me personally and the way that I work with the tool, it's a lot more stable. There's been a couple of things that I've reported that I'm pretty sure are not issues on your end. I think it has to do with Microsoft Windows. Mm. For example, we had a Windows update, and now for me to run SolidWorks, because I don't have an approved video card, I have to run my OpenGL through my processor. So I can barely do anything in SolidWorks, and it's all to do with the Windows update. So overall, I have not had the system crashes that I've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple, like I said, there's been a couple problems that I reported that are strange. They come and go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to catch them and work with your team and you know, catch them and send them in.
Thank you.
But as soon as I try to catch them and send them in, they go away. It's like, wait a minute.
Of course they do. You already mentioned this, but I'm going to ask you more specifically how you would compare the interactive routing, say from 17 where you were, to Ultimate Designer 20, and any other feature that might be a dramatic change for you.
The router is amazing. It's really hard for people that haven't seen it, and I highly recommend that everybody go and at least go to the section of the Ultium Live presentation, and I want to say it's like 26 minutes where they bring on the router, but I don't know for certain. But just the way the router works now, it's absolutely absolutely amazing. And when I have so many rules that I have to deal with, not only just like I have a UL spacing rule for, let's say, AC hot to ground, but then I have other components that are either like low voltage DC, or maybe they're running even higher than the AC line. So I have typically 40 to 60 rules, and they all have to be obeyed. And I have to make these boards smaller, and I have to get all these traces to go in all these strange configurations. And I can get a lot more packed in because the way the router works now, I can bring it and put it into a mode where it hugs around a round pad. Where before it would have been like at best maybe a 45.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get in as many traces. So that's a gigantic help for us. And it's just one of those things that once you see it, you're going to absolutely be blown away by it.
That's exciting. You know, that's kind of what Alexi and some of our product development said. As soon as our users see routing, it's going to be game over. And so you're sort of echoing what they said. If you could only pick one thing that has improved your, say, design flow on a day-to-day, what is the number one new thing in Altium Designer 20 that is, you know, does your design flow improve?
Other than the router, and that's always going to be my favorite.
Okay.
The thing that we're really starting to look at first we kind of looked and went, well, you know, we don't use these vendors because a lot of our components are sourced in China. Mm-hmm. But we're really starting to look really hard at ActiveBomb, and the reason being is that gives us a pulse on the way the industry is going. So when Apple and all the car companies bought up all the passive capability, and we had simple ceramic caps going out to 36 weeks, and we're going, wait a minute, when did that happen?
Yeah.
So at least it's going to help us with our designs, the ActiveBomb, even if we don't buy from DigiKey or Future or Avnet, it's going to at least put our finger on the pulse of where everything is going. So that's going to definitely be a gigantic help, and that's something that we're just now really starting to get involved with.
That's great. Again, it's a little I don't want to be redundant here, but specific to time savings, I mean, you just went from 32-bit to 64-bit, so that's a huge time saving. So I don't think we can say that. Besides that, biggest time-saving feature?
See, for us, it's the router.
Okay. It really is. It's okay.
It's the router.
It's the router, router, router.
Yes.
What do you feel that might not have been addressed in Altium Designer 20?
Basically, I'm not really seeing, for the way that we use the tool, something hasn't been addressed. We're in the power industry.
Right.
So we don't do much differential pair. You know, right. We don't do high speed routing, but we have all sorts of other black magic that we have to worry about when we're laying out a board. So for the way that we use the tool, typically it's either double-sided 2 or 4 ounce copper is mostly what we do.
Okay.
We really push that.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking several hundred amps on a board. So it's the type of thing, that's what we do. But speaking with some of the other people, when I was out at Altium Live, they seemed to be really happy with the improvement in the differential pair routing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, but you just told me you don't do that. So what I'll ask you instead is, have you played around with the creepage? Because it sounds like you're dealing with some high voltage. So,
yes, thank you very much for that. that was one of the things that having to worry about UL spacing, there's creepage and there's clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to address both. And being able to have the tool do that for us, that's going to save us board spins, because basically we're trying to do that visually and remember. And then when we have an area and we have it set, if we forget about it and somebody moves something, then we come back and we look at it and go, hey, wait a minute, who did this? You know, it's the type of thing that it really does actually help to be able to have both of those in the software now.
And that causes board respins. That's painful.
Yes. Well, because what'll happen is if we don't have the ability to catch that in the tool and we're doing it visually, we'll get the board in and we'll be building prototypes to send to UL for testing. Mm-hmm. And if we catch it, we know UL's going to catch it. And they're going to throw it back at us and say, hey, you got to fix this board.
Yeah.
So Ouch. Then it comes delays, and then submitting anything to UL is expensive. Typically, we spend on a brand new product between $20,000 and $40,000 for certification. So if we have to re-spin something, that can add another $4,000
to $10,000.
Wow. So knowing that we're not re-spinning, knowing we're not getting the time delays, you know, because if we have to resubmit to UL, figure it's going to take typically about a week to 2 weeks to get the boards in, rebuild them, and get them back to them. And then they have to put them back in the queue for testing. So it could be like 4 to 8 weeks every time we have to send in a new board. That's one of those things. And it's like time to market being so important.
Right.
Having those tools available is like, oh, thank God. Because we try our best to do everything we can. The only thing that we're still not really good at, and we're trying to use SolidWorks to catch it, but doesn't always catch it, is if we have a metal case and we have a component like a toroid coil, that's, you know, mm-hmm. basically a copper, mm-hmm. and if you put that toroid coil too close to the case, there's no way to catch that right now.
Oh.
So it's like, no, your tool, the addition of that is awesome, but we're still not able to have any set of CAD tools catch 100% of what we're trying to do. So
yeah. Oh, well, keep pounding that drum. It doesn't sound like it, but have you used any other CAD tools over your career, Mark?
I don't know if I can say this. Can you guys edit something out?
Yeah.
It's something I said at Altium Live when I was out there. I said, I've been using ProTel, and then, you know, I was with DXP and Altium Designer and everything. I said the longest decade of my life was the year I had to use, and it was when they were starting to go to Windows. So some things were in pull down menus. Other things were still DOS command prompts. Worst tool I've ever used, hands down. I did use for a year, but other than that, it's always been your tool. And honestly, the guys that wanted a board designer and wanted like mentor, you had to have security clearances. So that wasn't an option. But everybody that I've worked for, and I've worked in the auto industry, I've worked for Fortune 500 companies, I've worked for startups, excuse me, everybody has wanted Altium.
That's good news
now, this
for
was
us.
Before the advent of like Eagle and KiCad and everything else. But still today, most of the jobs that I see posted, they want Altium experience. So,
yeah, we're seeing that as well.
But luckily, you know, that's something too for the guys that are coming up in the industry. Back when I was doing it, you know, you had maybe a dozen different CAD tools and you kind of had to scratch your head, hope you picked the right one to get experience on. So if something happened, you could get another, you know, another job. So, but it's just been, it's not that I wouldn't be against using a different CAD tool, but everybody's asked for Altium, so that's always what I used.
Well, to that point, I get to work with students. As you probably know, you've seen some of the students at Altium Live, and I'm always trying to tell them, like, being proficient at Eagle is not going to help you get a job. You know, you need to be professional. No. You need to be on a professional tool. And to your point, we keep hearing this evidence too that people are asking for Altium a lot, so I'm trying to get them to learn a professional tool while they're still in college. Now I know you don't do high speed digital, but from what you've seen in Altium Designer 20, do you think there are any designs that the tool can't handle at this point?
No, and I have worked with high speed digital before. I'm just not doing it at my current job, and I don't see anything in the tool that would cause anybody to go, hey, we can't do this anymore.
Okay.
You know, we have to look for a different tool. Since you guys have gone to the 64-bit, and I was talking to some other users out there, they're not having any issues. So
that's great.
You know, no matter how many sheets they have or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever.
That's great news. What, I think you mentioned 3D, but what three capabilities of All Team Designer as a CAD tool do you think sets it apart from other CAD packages?
Well, the router, again, hate to come back to it, but I think that router is absolutely fantastic. The capabilities that you guys have with the 3D, I think is far and away better than anything I've seen on any of the other packages. And just the active bomb, you know, that's something that, that's another thing that you guys seem to always be one or two steps ahead of everybody else, and everybody's playing catch up. You know, you guys came out with 3D, then they said, well, okay, maybe, yeah, okay. Well, active bomb came along, and then I saw all of a sudden, you know, there's other CAD tools that are trying to play catch up on that. The other thing that I think is really going to help with collaboration is Altium 365, and from what we saw, you know, out at the demonstration, because one of the problems is we do, as designers, we do a lot more now than we were doing 30 years ago. But there seems to be this huge disconnect. You know, you used to have guys come in that were Motorola reps, and they would ask you certain things and then go mm-hmm. out to their car, and they'd have a trunk full of data books, and they'd bring in, you know, it seems like we've lost that link to like share the designs with everybody. Mm-hmm. So there seems to be like a huge disconnect. Like, hey, I didn't know this microcontroller was available with a CAN bus at this price. Well, it helps. It's going to help, I think, more to go to the cloud-based system for better collaboration. Even inside, like our company, once it's available, it's going to help, you know, with the mechanical guys and the purchasing guys and everybody else. They're going to all have access to all that data, mm-hmm. and they're not really going to have an excuse to say, oh, well, I didn't know. They're going to know, or they at least know they have the ability to know. So right. that's going to be really, really, really exciting.
That's neat. So, Mark, what made you decide to make the switch from Altium Designer 17, where you'd been hanging for a while, and move on to Altium Designer 20?
Basically what happened, I was one of the vocal people that mentioned the user interface was just a little bit too difficult for me to be able to do what I needed to do from day to day, and having to take the time to try to learn the interface and still get, you know, I'm still expected to get my work out. I couldn't do it. When I got in on the Altium Designer 20 beta program and I started using it, I was able to come over and start using it immediately. There was one modal dialog box that's not there that I still kind of catch myself every once in a while, but everything else, if it doesn't work exactly the same, it works close enough that I'm not running into issues where I'm stopping my design and going, okay, how do I do that? It's back to being just like it. I don't want to say just like it was in 17, but its usability, I'm not noticing any differences.
So really the user interface, what was what made you go off yes. doing upgrades, because you didn't have the time to learn all that new, a whole new kind of tool set, right? To know what buttons to click and.
Exactly. And it's one of those things. It's like, oh, I know there were some really nice features in 18 and 19, but I had to keep going with 17 because I have so many boards and so many revisions to existing product that I have to do that I couldn't take the time. I wish I could. But I just couldn't. So, and with 20, I have no problems. I've been running the beta 20 now for, oh boy, I don't know, maybe about 6 weeks or so. And I've actually switched over. I'm no longer running 17 at all. It's just the router alone and the improved productivity with being able to work on boards that I have to do revisions to. It's just so much faster in 20 than it is in 17.
Very good. Okay, my last question relative to this latest release is, obviously, it's a free market. You've been at this for over 30 years. You could probably choose to work with any CAD tool you wanted to. What has made you stay with Altium over these years, and kind of become part of our family, right, and really stick with us from very early on.
Well, honestly, the price point, you know, and you guys don't, you don't nickel and dime us. You know, there was at one point it was like, well, you can have 400 components and 600 nets or, you know, things like that. And if you want this, then you need to do this. Oh, do you want copper pours? You got, you know, so basically we get the package and all the functionality is there. The ability to go on and off of maintenance, if for some reason, and I've worked for companies, you know, some of the startups, it's like, oh, we need to tighten our belt. It's like, well, for now, all right, you can let the maintenance go. We're not going to be able to ask any questions, but your software is not going to shut down because you didn't pay the maintenance. So that was a feature that, you know, over, there were a couple of years where things got tight and it was like, well, you could let that go. And then just the fact that you guys are stable, you know, you're not getting gobbled up by some other company that mm-hmm. gets gobbled up by somebody that gets bought out by Siemens, that gets bought out by, you know, somebody else. So you guys have been Altium for, you know, a very long time. So the stability is something that I think is very important. And then the fact that you do continue to improve the tool. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, yeah, we're not going to do anything to the tool for a few years, or maybe you just drop like developing the tool at all. And I've seen that happen with other CAD users. They're like, well, you know, we're not getting any new development in our tool. We feel like we're being left out. And I'm like, well, come over to Altium, you know, you'd be surprised sometimes.
We'd have less gray hair if we didn't have annual releases, but God bless our development team.
I started getting my gray hair at 23, so.
It's all that laying out of circuit boards, dang it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. This has been a really rich conversation. I've really enjoyed it. I, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk at Altium Live. I was too busy running around, but thank you so much for sharing your experience and your insights and, you know, your expertise from all these years. So thanks so much for joining us today, Mark, and we look forward to continued partnership with you, and thank you so much for your input. It really means a lot to all of us here at Altium.
Great. I look forward to the actual formal release of 20. I think you guys are going to get a lot of good feedback.
Thanks so much, Mark. Well, to our listeners, thanks so much for joining us today on the On Track podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation with Mark Ross. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.